Welcome to For the Health of It, an intimate look at public health in Cowley County, Kansas. Join us as we discuss topics that are impacting public health in our community and learn about what we do at your local health department. Hey, welcome back, everybody, to another edition of For the Health of It, Cowley County. This is Tom Langer, the Health Department Administrator and Public Health Officer, and with me today, as always, is the lovely Allie. Hello, Allie. How are you this morning?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I'm all excited, you know.
I am, too.
Spring is in the air.
It's finally getting warmer.
Getting warmer. We're supposed to have thunderstorms, all that kind of stuff. We need the rain. It's all good. Hey, what do we have on tap for today? Anything new that we're wanting to talk about? All kinds of stuff happening in Cowley County. What's on the agenda?
Yeah, we actually have a series of new things, upcoming events, that type of thing. So we're going to be doing another trail mix episode. It'll be our second.
Oh, cool. What kind of topics are we thinking about talking about?
We'll be talking about the upcoming health and safety fair. We'll be giving some updates in some of our internal programs.
Cool.
And then we'll talk about our health counts survey that we talked about
a few episodes ago. Yeah, that's big. It's going on right now. So we're going to have a lot to cover now. This is going to be a little different. It's not scripted. I see you've created a little bowl in front of me with some papers in it.
Right.
So I get to reach in and pull one out.
It is like trail mix.
And then we're going to talk about it. Right.
Sure.
And we're going to spend about 5 minutes or so per topic and this just elaborate a little bit so people know what's happening right now. I'm really looking forward to a lot of these things that are going on. Just before we pull it out, I know that the survey that we've got going in the county right now is so important. And I hope that if people did not take the opportunity that they still engage with us if they can. If they've missed the survey, they can still participate in some of the focus groups that are going to be coming up.
Certainly.
Right? So there's going to be other opportunities if they've missed out, and we want to make sure that we follow up with that. But anyway, are you ready? I'm gonna reach.
Don't into pick the, a raisin.
I'm gonna reach into the big thing here. Oh, a raisin.
Yeah, get us something good.
Get something good to start with. Health counts.
Perfect.
How is that? So here we are babbling about that. Give the folks a rundown, Allie, of what health counts is, why we're doing it, just in case maybe they're new to listening to the podcast, or they haven't been in touch or watching the news.
Sure. So the Health Count Survey is a part of our community health needs assessment that we do every 3 years here in Cowley County. So 2024, our current cycle, is what we are working on right now. Several partners are involved with this project: William Newton Hospital, the Community Health Center, there are several others, and of course the Health Department.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first part of it. So this is our primary data source. So it's a survey that touches on several different topics that can induce health, making it better or worse. And it's focused on getting information about community perceptions, what people think is here, what they have access to, how they can use it, that type of thing. And it's just the first part, really, of the whole community health needs assessment process.
Now, I'm going to be devil's advocate. Why does this matter?
It matters because it allows us in our field, particularly in public health, to make sure that what we're doing for the community makes sense. The community changes quite a bit. So it's just a good way for us to evaluate what we're doing and making sure that we're actually providing for the community the way we are supposed to.
You know, there are people out there who can say, oh, I'm not going to do this. I don't want to give them any information. And, oh, this really doesn't matter. It's not going to change anything. Nobody ever listens to us. And I can't really get my head wrapped around that, you know.
I can't either.
Because this is the opportunity for them to step up and say, hey, you're hitting it out of the park or you're missing it entirely. And I really wish people would understand that this is their opportunity to talk to healthcare providers and let us hear their voice. And I'm really excited about what I've seen as far as some of the numbers so far. Seems like we're getting a pretty good distribution throughout the county.
Yes, much better than in the past,
I think. Talk a little bit about what you've seen in those numbers, because you're my numbers girl.
Sure. So we have so far collected over 1,000 responses from people who live in Cowley County or work in Cowley County. And what we've been doing is we've been tracking those responses by address in a way that still keeps them anonymous. But we've been using those addresses and we've been actually plotting them on a map of Cowley County of the 911 addresses. So we're able to see the spread. And we've been looking at that on a weekly basis, and it's actually helped a lot of our approach. So a couple weeks ago, we realized that in one of our rural communities that we hadn't had any responses from there. That's a problem. So we actually had people who went and put their boots on the ground and collected responses from that area. So I think that it's really cool in time to be doing that.
Yeah, that's cool. Because of the fact that anybody that understands data, understands numbers, understands surveys, knows that we have to have a certain threshold of responses for our results to have validity.
Certainly.
Right? How can I say that so it doesn't sound real geeky? The more responses we get, the more likely it is that the answers we see or the conclusions we draw from what people are telling us are in fact true.
Right. It's like when you're watching a commercial and you hear the classic 4 out of 5 dentists recommend that. Right. Was it actually 5 dentists?
Yeah.
Or was it 80% of a larger sample size? I don't know.
Exactly. Also, then we can disclose that number, because if we just look at 100 people or 100 responses, we're going to get data. But if we multiply that tenfold and we end up with 1,000 responses, that data is going to be a lot more revealing. We're going to see, I think, a truer response rate. And for a county the size of Cowley, where we are looking at residents, you know, we have 34,500 roughly residents, for us to have numbers that matter, we have to have response rates well over 1,400. And that's just for individual people. Now, the way this was set up by households. So I think our response rate will be even more relevant, because while we have 34,500 residents, we only have about, how many households do you remember?
8,500.
Was it like 8,500 or so?
That was the 65 mark. So it was around 30,
Yeah.
More than that.
so, let's say we have...
Maybe it was around 13,000.
Yeah, let's say we have 13,000. So now, if you get, you know, say we have 14,000 residences, okay, or addresses, valid residents, and we get 1,400 responses, that's 10% of the households in Cowley County that would respond. So that's going to give us a pretty good feel for the validity of the data, right?
Certainly.
And you know how that, and we look into that. And then also, that's just the first part.
Yes.
I think I'm probably even more excited about is the convening of focus groups.
Certainly.
People that have had the opportunity to take the survey that have indicated in their survey response that, yeah, they would like to be a part of focus groups, to where we look at the specific topics that they have the biggest interest in. Maybe their interest is, you know, mental health. Maybe theirs is child care. Maybe theirs is emergency care, whatever it is. Then we can focus on those specific areas and get more and more information from you, with the end result being that we want to make sure our programs or the offerings that we have in the county, or the things that we have to work on to bring to the county or improve in the county, are valid, so that we're not just wasting our time and the resources that we're provided on things that don't matter. The other part that really was cool about this was the incentives. And talk about those.
Yeah, so there have been several donors and those from grants who have given Cowley County money to incentivize this project. So right now, the first 5,000 households who complete the survey are eligible to receive $10 in chamber checks to either the Winfield or Arc City Chambers.
And that's awesome. And there's, yeah, that's amazing. And then there's also been a little sweetening of the pot here the last couple of weeks now.
Yeah. So the survey is wrapping up at the end of this month, but every weekday until then, we're actually giving away $100 to somebody who has already completed it. So the sooner you get it done, the more entries you have in that pot.
And that's an everyday thing, isn't
it? Yes. Every weekday.
Every weekday. So, you know, Monday through Friday, there's a drawing. And if you've taken the survey and it gets pulled out, $100.
Yep.
That's cool. I hope everybody takes advantage of it. It's not too late. Get on it. Check out our website. Go to Rise Cali's website. We have links everywhere. You can call us if you don't have access to the internet. We will make it work for, we'll just make it work.
Certainly.
Right. Okay. So here's the next topic.
Okay. The health and safety fair.
Yay team. This is all about Daniel Vildesol. You know, he is the dude at the health department.
That
has been our point man and running all of this stuff and getting this organized. And while he sits in the back in the shadows and doesn't say much, he does a hell of a job getting this thing put together.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And
it's a huge project.
It is. It's Well, let's see. Let's talk about the Health and Safety Fair. What day is it going to be?
It is going to be on Saturday, May 18th.
From what time?
From 9 a.m. to noon.
And where is this
going
to be?
We are going to be back at the Arc City Agribusiness Building this year.
Now, we flip back and forth between Arc City and Winfield, right?
Yes.
We like the Agribusiness Building.
Yeah.
It's a nice facility. You know, it's convenient for folks. I think they can get in. There's plenty of parking around it.
Everyone knows where it is.
Kind of a park setting like that for a morning event. But the best part about it is that it's a big enough covered climate controlled facility that rain or shine, we can have this event.
Yeah, and May's kind of a crazy time.
And yeah, it's turbulent. I'll tell you what, he did good. He picked mid-May this year as opposed to sometimes we've had it first part of April. I remember one year it snowed.
Oh, yeah.
Yikes. In other years we've had, you know, rainstorms and things like that. But that's the other nice part about doing it in Arc City. I truly wish that we had a similar facility in Winfield, no knock, on the fairgrounds, but it's not quite the same. I like that, you know, that larger space, and everybody gets to get into it. And I think Daniel was telling us we've got like over, what, 50, exhibitors coming in, and this year is going to be really pretty special. You got the list there? Tell us a little bit more about what's happening.
Well, I would like to give Daniel a shout out, actually, because he's worked really hard in the last couple of years to make sure that more of the booths that we have and the things that we do are more interactive and engaging. So this year, just a few things that he's told me about. Looks like you can come and learn CPR from the staff at William Newton Hospital, or you can explore some of the emergency vehicles from Arc City Fire and EMS. That's always really fun
for the
kiddos.
Yeah, that's cool.
He's also working with Eagle Med for them to bring their helicopter.
I hope so. Well, there's two reasons I hope that happens. Number one, that means that it's going to be kind of a quiet time and nobody's hurt.
Right.
And number two, that I hope we have good weather. Because it is kind of cool to see that thing come in and really understand what would happen in the event of an emergency. We're rural enough that a lot of times that life flight type of event is the difference between life and death for folks, especially if there's a really tragic emergency. So that's cool. I'm glad to hear that. And we've got fire engines and all the stuff for the kids like to see, right? I think they're all
right.
Going to be there. Law enforcement comes out.
K-State Research and Extension is bringing their blender bike.
The blender bike. You know, Becky Reed, bless her heart. That girl can walk in. She can pick up a couple of leaves off of a tree from a bush, some twigs out of the garden, and she'll prepare some kind of gourmet meal with it. I don't know. If you don't know Becky Reed, you need to meet her. She is something special, and she really knows her nutrition component, and she always enjoys coming out. And she works real hard with us, too, on a lot of other things, especially with Rise Cali and all of the other coalitions that we're on. We're going to be there at the health department is. We've got some fun things. It's so important that we engage with people. We want them to come talk to us face-to-face, learn about the different programs we have at the health department. But there's only so much exciting you can say about, you know, getting kids immunized and all that. So we do other fun stuff.
Sure.
And we have
games
and prizes. You know, what we want you to do is come in and you get a chance to play a game, answer a question, and then you get a neat prize. And so we really try to make that happen. And we've got some kind of cool stuff ready to go for this year already. So make sure you come by and see us on Saturday,
May 18th.
May the 18th at what time?
From 9 to noon, and it is free to attend.
Free to attend, and all kinds of great door prizes. I think Daniel has really worked hard on that. There's usually some pretty neat stuff. I know last year there was a bicycle given away and some other, you know, really neat things. So, hey, take the time out. Mark it on your calendars. Bring the kids out. Everybody's welcome. It's good fun for everybody, and you actually will learn something about your community. So that's it. What do you got next there? Pull out the next crunchy nugget. Is it an M&M? Car seats. Oh, I love car seats.
Hey, health and safety, right?
Health and safety is right. Car seats have been a topic with us. For people that don't know, we, the health department, used to be the Safe Kids chapter in the county, and we had a lot of our staff trained as car seat technicians. And what a car seat technician is, a person that goes and they actually have to learn from, I think it's the Highway Patrol and the National Transportation Board, I forget, NTSB, National Transportation and Safety Board, I think is what it is, the right way to install car seats in vehicles. Most people think, oh, that's a real easy thing. I'm going to tell you, I've got grandkids, and they're getting ready to come home. And so I've picked up a couple of car seats because I have a granddaughter that's about five, so she gets to sit in a forward-facing seat now. She's a big girl, but she's still not adult-sized to where the lap belts and the shoulder restraints in a car would be as effective on her. And so she sits in a smaller seat that's on the seat. And then I've got a two-year-old, or going to be two, grandson. And he still sits in the traditional car seat that people think about. I have been involved in public health for almost 20 years. I have a master's degree. I am very handy. I can build things. I can do things. But I could not install a car seat to save my back. I took those things out and I struggled and thought I had them right. And then a little voice inside my head said 75% of car seats installed in cars for children are installed incorrectly. So I drove it to work and I came in and I, hat in hand, asked one of our technicians on staff, could you come out and take a look? And oh my goodness, they jumped in there within 5 minutes' time, politely fixed everything. And now I know I have two seats in the back of my vehicle that are in properly. They are secured. They don't budge. And you know, that's the thing. You don't want anything to happen. And a child that's not properly restrained in an automobile accident becomes a projectile. And they will fly through the air. And not on my watch, not my grandkids. So I see people driving around town. I see kids unrestrained in cars. And I know that it's just a game of Russian roulette. You have to hit the brakes hard, come to a hard stop. Something that may not result in injury to an adult could tragically hurt a child. So we're going back into that business a little bit. We've been out of it for a couple years.
Yes.
A couple years. The fact that we've got so many programs at the health department that deal with children, our maternal and child health, Healthy Start Home Visitor Program, where we're working with moms before they have babies, and we want to make sure everything works right. The fact that we have our WIC program, which deals with children, and you know, we have immunization program with deals with children. It seems like a lot of the things that we do have that tie to the kids.
Yes.
And so it only makes, oh, and we have Patty who works child care licensing and she deals with, you know, children. It just makes sense for us to make sure we have trained people on staff and that we will then be able to get an allotment from time to time of car seats that we will be able to put into vehicles for people who don't have the means, perhaps.
Right. But even if you do and you're just curious, you can come by and see if it's incorrectly, or if you are in the market to purchase one, you can call the health department and they can help you with that process, because that's daunting.
I know that, you know, that the health department, we pay to train them. We send them to the training. They get their certifications. They do this kind of work. And it's not always glorious. You are out there in the wintertime when it's freezing cold, putting a car seat in, it's not real pleasant. You're out there in the summertime when it's 110 degrees in the shade, you're in a car putting a car seat in, and you come out looking like a wet blanket. It's not always fun. But what they truly enjoy is interacting with the families, meeting the parents, seeing the kids, getting those things put in properly, watching the kids get in and get buckled up. So, yep, we're going to be doing that again. I think for us, that's going to kick off sometime, what was it, June?
Yes, yeah, that like should that. Be when we're up and running.
Up and running, because so don't come running yet, because we won't have seats if you need one. But you can, again, come by or give us a call, and we'll schedule a time, and you can come see us, and we'll verify and check, make sure that yours is installed correctly, because that's the biggest thing. You may have a good, valid seat, but if it's not in right, it's really not. That doesn't do a whole lot of good.
Yeah, and don't just trust yourself to drive well. It's everybody else on
Everybody's
the road.
Nuts.
There's so many risks.
Yeah.
Just do it the right way.
No, I never
please.
Make a mistake. No, you're right. You know? but you know, it is. And there's so many other things. And it's that time of the year where, you know, we're going to be traveling more now that the weather, the days are getting longer. Soon school will be out. People will travel, vacations, all that kind of stuff. Get it done. Keep those kiddos safe. What's the next topic, girl?
It looks like we're going to be talking about lead. Do you know much about that?
Lead. Yeah, I do. Makes me sad. lot of talk a few weeks back in the paper. A lot of issues in the news now about a surge or an uptick in lead poisoning of children, especially in Cowley County. It is an absolute important topic. What we realize is that the vast majority of people don't know much about a problem that's been with us for over 8,000 years. And so what we're going to do now with this issue is really try to educate everybody in Cowley County and promote wellness by teaching you the basics about lead and why this heavy metal toxin has no place in our lives. And we're going to be doing that by producing this podcast. Actually kind of gave us the inspiration for this. We thought, hey, let's talk about it. No, let's not. We can't just talk about this. This is something that people need to see. There's a visual component to this. So we're going to be setting up in our lab, and we're going to be recording short videos, probably 10 to 15 minutes in length, so that you can watch them on YouTube. And do we have a YouTube channel?
Yes.
Yeah, we do, right? So we'd put them on our YouTube channel, and they will become kind of the encyclopedia of lead and lead poisoning prevention. And we're going to go through it all from the very basics. So you're going to learn a little bit about chemistry. You're going to learn a little bit about history. You're going to learn about human physiology and biology. And you're going to learn how all of these things interact and how the environment affects this. And we'll tie it all together so that hopefully our community can become lead aware. Now, before anybody asks, well, how are you the expert on this? My almost entire career in public health before I came to Cowley County was centered on environmental health and mostly on this specific issue. So many of the rules and regulations that are written in the state of Kansas, I had a hand in doing. All of the different safeguards that were put into place in the forms of regulations, I had a role in. I understand this probably better than anything else in public health. Matter of fact, when I sat down and had a pad in front of me and said, okay, I'm going to just jot down the key points, all of a sudden I was 20 pages deep into a spiral notebook and not really even getting started. And so I said, oh, this is too much. So we're going to break it down. We want to show, we want to illustrate folks. We also have a job to do here to go ahead and not just educate parents, but teachers, doctors, who in their course of study never really spent, they may be spent an hour in their entire medical training and medical talking about heavy metals.
Sure.
You know, and so we need to make sure that everybody understands. And then we've got some other cool stuff I know that you worked on and you were able to secure some funding to make this work. Why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, we received a grant recently from the National Center of Healthy Housing to work on some of these projects. So really what we had proposed was that we were going to work with the community to make them lead aware, as you said. But that we were also going to create opportunities for kiddos and pregnant women to come in and be tested at no cost to them.
Right.
That's the only way you can know is to test.
Yeah. And we absolutely, we want to do this. It's not for us to identify the problem and really to define what we need to do to fix things. This is the step. These are the logical steps. When somebody asks me, well, what is it you want to do, Tom? I says, I want to end a problem for kids in 2024 that originated 100 to 150 years ago when this town was first being built. And that's how long it's here. And we have a lot of work to do. And there's nobody to blame. Everybody just needs to be aware and everybody needs to work together. And if we do this, you'll be surprised at what it could do to help the communities and in so many different aspects. Health-wise, yeah. Economically, yeah. All of these things, this is one of those areas where it does, in fact, all tie together. And we could make, you know, all of our communities in Cowley County lead aware, and lead safe for our families. That's the goal. We want to do something and leave the world a lot better place than we found it. So I will say this, you know, why aren't we hearing more about it? It's because right now I don't want to pull the air out or thunder away from what we're trying to do with the Health Count survey. So some of these priorities sometimes kind of compete with one another. And this strategically has been, we're working on these things, but we're not pushing them out to the public just yet, because I want to make sure that we get that Health Count survey stuff accomplished first. You can find out more about what we're doing lead poisoning wise, hopefully at the Health and Safety Fair. We'll be able to talk about that with you in person and get things rolling. God, we got so many things going on. When you think about it all the stuff that we're working on, I'm so damn glad that I don't have to say the P word anymore.
Pandemic.
Yeah, exactly. I love the fact that, you know, Daniel puts out our
public health update.
Public health update. We put out the public health update and I don't have to talk about COVID.
Right.
Day
numbers.
And I mean, it's still there. Yeah, granted, we know it. It's there and all of that good stuff. But anyway, what else do we got? We still have a little bit of time?
Yeah, we're doing really well on time, actually.
Good. Then we can always go back and elaborate a little bit more on some things. So what's the next deal?
Looks like we have reproductive health.
Oh, yeah. Reproductive health.
That's a transition.
That is. It absolutely is. What we used to call...
Family planning.
Family planning. It still is family planning, but we are rebranding that at the health department under the moniker of reproductive health. And I want to tell people why, because they're saying, well, what's the big change? And have you done anything different? You know, the program still exists. And for those of you who've never had the need, there are people in our community that need to see a health professional because of reproductive issues from time to time. And maybe they are not insured, they don't have insurance, or what they have doesn't cover certain things. So the family planning program was there. I want to talk business to people that understand small business for a minute. Every small business has to have insurance, and the health department is no different. We're insured by organizations to make sure that our facilities are insured, so that if we have some kind of catastrophic disaster, that we don't have to start from scratch and we don't have to go to the taxpayers and say we've lost everything, we need millions of dollars to replace everything. And for years we have insured our clinics and the stuff inside of them. A little bit over a year ago, the renewal came up for our insurance, and there's always a form we have to go through and fill out, and one of the questions in that is, do you run or do you provide family planning services? And our answer was yes, we do, because that's what we called it, was family planning. And let me explain what that means, because a lot of people hear that term and I think they take it or they interpret it differently. If you watch the news, you might sit there and say, oh, family planning is the equivalency of some place people would go to abort pregnancy. That is not what family planning is at the health department. Family planning is exactly that. Do you want to have a family at any point in your life? And if so, how do you stay healthy to do that? It is not come to the health department and we'll talk you out of a pregnancy or you can, no, there is no abortion services ever allowed at the health department. That's never been part of what it is, but we do provide men and women the opportunity to stay healthy in their reproductive years so that if and when they're ready to have family, they can do that in a positive fashion and that they can space children appropriately. You know, how many times have we seen a family has a child and then there's another
very quickly.
Real quickly afterwards that, oh, God, that maybe wasn't what the plan had been originally, but you know, that now you've got, you know, a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old at home and you're climbing the walls with them. So those are the kinds of things that the clinics do. Plus also in our reproductive health clinics, we deal a lot with those issues that we talked about in our very, very first podcast, okay, the tainted love one. And I still love that because it's, you know, it goes back to the fact that, hey, a lot of things in our world revolve around human sexuality. We wouldn't have probably even have a health department if it wasn't for the fact that people reproduce and they're engaged in reproductive activity, right? So we have illnesses and disease that pops up with that gets spread a lot. We have families that maybe struggle to have children and they want to have children and they need help in that regard. We have women who need to make sure that they remain healthy, that they have their annual exams, they can have access to screenings for, you know, against cancer. And we got to help. We got to help our younger cohort. I'm sorry. I hope this is not shocking news to everybody, but anytime a person grows into adolescence, they become sexual beings. They will become sexually active at some point in time. I am a parent and my children were all angels and saints and never, you know, did that right. Okay. Nobody's ever do until they do. And then it's too late. And then you have to have those terrible conversations. Well, you know, the health department is a resource. We have those types of programs. We have accessible contraception. We have good people and we have physicians that can help in that realm. And you never have to worry about it being anything less than confidential. It's 100% protected by privacy. And we just want to make sure that this part of our community is taken care of. When we go back and take a look at the founding documents for public health in the county, one of the main reasons the health department was brought into being was to help prevent the spread of what they called social disease back then, right? And now we call it sexually transmitted disease or sexually transmitted infections. And so it's going to be around as long as a health department exists, but it's something I think a lot of people don't know about and they should find out more about. And it's easy and it's private and it's confidential. And so young, old, doesn't matter. Come talk to us. Reproductive health, big thing at the health department.
Yes.
What else? What did I miss? Bring it from your perspective, please.
I think one of the coolest things about this program is you had mentioned that it's confidential, but I think that language is confusing to people because it's healthcare. So of course it's confidential and HIPAA and all of those things. But really what that means is that we can protect you from anyone finding out ever. So we have several different protections in place. Like one of them that people often don't think about is if you do have a health insurance plan that maybe we just won't bill it that way. You won't receive invoices in the mail. We won't be calling you for those reminder calls. We won't be sending you text messages, that type of thing. We would really be relying on you to make the contact when you're in an environment that you can do so. So that's really good for people who are maybe in unsafe relationships, people who are teenagers, all kinds of different things. That's a nice opportunity, I think, especially for the nature of this program. Another cool thing about this program is that I mentioned health insurance and you had kind of mentioned if you don't necessarily have health insurance, but this program provides care to anyone of all income levels. And it's on an income-based sliding scale. So everything that we do is determined on your ability to pay and what you need. And the really cool thing about that is that at the health department, just in general, we always prioritize your health needs rather than your financial restraints. So you can come here and you can receive the care in a timely fashion and get the services that you need before these things escalate and get worse.
Yeah, and it is confidential. All you have to do is give a call, say you need to talk to somebody about reproductive health or whatever your concern might be. And I'll tell you what, and the nurses, they spring into action and they will get the right information and then we'll get you set up and get an appointment, make sure you get in. It's vital. It's absolutely essential to a community. You've got to deal with these issues. It's never going to go away. And as long as people walk the earth, this is one of those things we look at.
Right.
Yep.
And this is one of those things that it's just good to know about, honestly, before you need it.
Yeah, it is. It truly is. A lot of people have a difficult time having the talk with their kids.
Sure.
Well, if you want to have the talk with the kids, you can utilize the health department for that.
Oh, yes.
Because you can come in and have an appointment with the child if you want to. And we can go through it. very, it's scientific. It's very matter of fact. It's not a joke. It's not funny. It's not, you know, we can tell people. And then you gain a better understanding. Sometimes if you're a parent and you don't know how to have that, come in and talk to us and we'll tell you, or we can provide you some materials too that you can take and provide to your kids or to a loved one that will help. So there's more to it than just, I think I have an issue. No, maybe it's not. It's all about, again, becoming educated and preventing that, right?
Yes.
So reproductive health, it's one of those cornerstone foundation things that we do at the health department, and it's not going away anytime soon. So I think we're probably close to the end, right?
Yeah.
Anything that we want to go back and add a little bit more to, or any other things that are on your mind?
I wanted to actually tell our listeners that we have a new registered dietitian on staff.
Mm-hmm.
And we can provide additional services in that realm.
Absolutely. And that's pretty neat for a community our size to have that resource is neat. When we take a look at some of the issues and the chronic illnesses that affect our community, we know that obesity, which could lead to diabetes, is one. We know that there are a lot of kids that don't have an adequate diet to grow properly. We don't know sometimes how to feed ourselves. Sounds funny in today's world, but it still exists.
Right.
And so this is a person who understands how diet and nutrition absolutely affect health and can help us bridge the gap between how do I get my kid to enjoy eating vegetables, and has the strategies and the ways to make a child become involved in mealtime, even through the prep and then enjoying the balanced diet. If we can learn those things when we're young, we will retain that information all the way through our lives. And then you won't end up like me when I'm needing a snack, grabbing a bag of chips. You know, come on, grab the apple instead, Tom. Munch on that, you know, piece of fruit. You don't need the cupcake. Sometimes I need the cupcake.
I understand.
Okay, sometimes I need the cupcake. And I will never give up the cheeseburgers. I'm sorry.
But hey, there's dairy on them, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Protein.
Me and Andy Reid, you know, that's the thing. So anyway, what else? Anything else that we want to add to this? Anything that, you know, you think we might have forgotten?
Storm season.
Storm season? Yeah, it is. Boy, if you don't have a plan for what you're going to do when the sirens blow, or that storm is barreling down on us and we only have a few minutes to get to shelter, it's too late at that point to make the plan.
Yes.
You got to do that. You got to have it now, especially if you have a family where mom is maybe going to be somewhere with, maybe she's working or she's with one of the kids at one game. Dad may be working. You may have a teenager who's at another event. And there's any point in time during your day when you guys are all away from home and you're all spread out around the county, and all of a sudden an emergency happens. And those storms can happen at any point in time, day, night, whatever, right? What are you going to do? How are you going to even be able to communicate with one another? Man, make a plan, people. Have it. Practice it. It may sound silly to you, but it can be the difference between you guys having peace of mind and surviving an emergency, because the biggest storms in history all happened on a day when most people woke up and everything was normal. And by the end of their day, it wasn't, and it would never be normal for them again. So we don't want to sound like doom and gloom, but man, this is for real. And we live in Kansas. So, you know, we know that we've had storms already in the state where the sirens have blown and funnels have touched down. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. So be prepared. And that's all I got to say about that.
It's a good way to wrap up.
Good way to wrap up. Okay, great. I hope you enjoyed this Trail Mix edition of For the Health of It, Cali County. I always enjoy having these conversations with you, Allie, and helping people understand a little bit more about what we do and why it's so important. And we really do hope that people appreciate what the health department is and what it does. And we hope that you utilize our services, because that makes us more and more relevant in the community. And we know we don't want to ever turn our backs on the communities. We want to get better and better and better so that your lives are better and happier and healthier. So until next time,
stay well.
Stay well. Thank you for joining us for this edition of For the Health of It, Cowley County. We hope you found it useful and that you'll tell your friends and give us a listen again during future episodes. As always, we end today's segment by replaying a recent Public Health Minute, which is a weekly radio message focused on keeping you healthy. So, until next time, stay well, everyone. Hey, everybody, it's almost time for the return of a local favorite, the annual Cowley County Health and Safety Fair. On Saturday, May 18th, the fair returns to Ark City at the Agribusiness Building. This fun-filled event features new attractions, old favorites, and over 50 participating organizations with lots to see and much to do. This year, you can learn CPR from the staff of William Newton Hospital or explore some emergency vehicles from Ark City Fire and EMS. Ride the K-State Research and Extension Office Blender Bike. Check out the Eagle Med Helicopter. Grab a bite to eat from the Girl Scout Troop of 45321. The Health and Safety Fair is free to attend, and there's lots of opportunities to win excellent door prizes. So save the date and make sure you stop by the Ag Building from 9 a.m. to noon on Saturday, May 18th. This year's fair is brought to you by CanPack, a Golden State food company, the Rise Cali Health Equity Action Team, and, of course, the local health department. The Health and Safety Fair is just one more way the health department works hard every day to help you stay well.